Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome back to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Whether strengthening old alliances, forging new partnerships to meet complex global challenges, engaging with citizens and civil society, or charting new strategies in Afghanistan and Pakistan, U.S. national interests depend on effective engagement and innovative public diplomacy. With us today to discuss his efforts in this area is our very special guest, Alec Ross, Senior Advisor for Innovation at the U.S. Department of State. Alec, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael.
Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Bonnie Glick. Bonnie, welcome.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Alec, could you tell us a little bit about your unique role in the department? What does the Senior Advisor for Innovation actually do at the department? And how does it seek to fuse technology with diplomacy and development?
Sure. So the role is brand spanking new. It was created by Secretary Clinton with the mission to maximize the potential of technology-fueled innovation in service of our diplomatic and development goals. So as a very practical matter, what we're really concentrating on is defining what 21st century statecraft is and then demonstrating what 21st century statecraft is. And as a practical matter, what that means is that thinking about things like our global networks, thinking about innovations in science and technology, and then applying those to diplomatic and development challenges.
Great. Given your role, what would you say are the top three challenges that you face as an advisor on innovation, and how do you handle these challenges?
Sure. Well, I should say first that, you know, I'm 7 or 8 months into the job, and the headline is so far so good. So while there are challenges, things have gone exceedingly well so far. What are some of the challenges? One is, by its very nature, innovation has a higher risk profile than what is typically practiced diplomatically. So one of the things that we need to get used to if we're going to really try to infuse innovation into our diplomatic and development programs is simply knowing that not everything's going to work. Nothing is guaranteed. Things like social media are very messy spaces, and things that you think are going to work don't, and things that you think are long shots end up having really high payoffs sometimes. So on the one hand, there's the issue of risk. Number two is speed. In the world of technology, things are very, very fast moving. And government oftentimes isn't particularly well set up to adapt to the speed of technology and to the speed of innovation. Things like procurement practices, staying current in terms of employee training and what have you, those are really big challenges. And in the private sector, you can be much more nimble than you can in government. So being able to move fast while also safeguarding taxpayer resources is important. And then a third challenge that I would cite is simply that in an increasingly technology-rich, knowledge-based world, the actors are not all state-based actors. And the way that the State Department is organized, principally organized, it's to engage government to government, state to state. And when you think about the increasing rise of non-state-based actors, when you think about 21st century movements, which more often than not are not attached to a government, then that becomes a big challenge, and it requires a whole new toolbox to be able to respond to those kinds of challenges.
That is absolutely fascinating, and it is a complete change in the way that government has to address populations. But what about you then? I understand that you came from the nonprofit world, so outside of government. But could you tell us a little more about your career path? How did you begin your career, and what brought you into this current role?
Sure. So about 15, 16 years ago, out of college, I joined Teach for America, which places recent college graduates into disadvantaged classrooms. And so I was a middle school teacher in West Baltimore for several years. And it was while I was a middle school teacher in West Baltimore, and this was largely pre mass use of the internet, before the first internet browser became widespread, I still then noticed that there was something special about this generation of young people when it came to their use of technology. It was incredibly intuitive, and I thought that it could be this thing which catapulted people who grew up in poverty into the economic mainstream. And so I was a middle school teacher, and then I and three buddies founded a nonprofit in a basement about 10 years ago, and it grew from being, you know, a handful of dreamers in a basement to actually becoming the world's largest digital divide organization with programs in more than 10 countries and on four continents, bridging the digital divide and getting people great online educational and asset building content. And it was about, gosh, it was probably 2003, 2004, I got to know a then state senator from the south side of Chicago named Barack Obama, and began to get to know some of the people who worked with him. And I was excited about him and inspired by him, you know, when he was a state senator. And I supported him when he chose to run for the United States Senate. And what really followed was a years-long journey working with people from the technology community and innovators who all thought that President Obama got it. And so I then played a role on his campaign as the convener for technology, media, and telecommunications policy, and helped run about a 500-person, all-volunteer group of technologists to help bring some technology mojo to a presidential campaign. And then after the election and during the presidential transition, I began discussions with people at the State Department, and Hillary Clinton and her senior team created a home for me to help bring some of that technology mojo into America's diplomatic agenda, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you said you organized 500 volunteers. What makes an effective leader in your mind, and how does it differ from an effective innovator?
So, you know, I think that there are a lot of different models for effective leadership. And I think that sometimes great innovators can be lousy executives, but I also think there are examples where great innovators can be great executives. You know, I think, for example, about Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. You know, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs are both visionary. They're both extraordinary innovators, but they also proved over the course of decades to be very strong executives. But sometimes you get people who are visionary technologists or visionary innovators, and it's just a different DNA sometimes that lends itself to becoming an effective executive. I really think that leadership is a form oftentimes of authentic self-expression and management, leading from the inside out, drawing people into a vision and then organizing around that vision. And some people have one side of it, but not the other. Some people have the vision, but not the organizational and management skills. Some people have the organizational and management skills, but not the vision. When the two come together, it can be a very special thing.
That's terrific. How is the State Department leveraging social media for public diplomacy? We will ask Alec Ross, Senior Advisor for Innovation at the U.S. Department of State, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.